Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
In verse 19, Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says, "I call heaven and earth that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, cleave unto him in the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them." Amen. Come on, somebody shout, "There's life."
There's life.
In the Word.
In the Word.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, in the Word of God, this morning, you know, I want to finish. We've been talking about life in the Word. Now, I spent the 8 o'clock service just talking about, just defining what life is. And perhaps during this service, we'll exemplify that life. Now, just a few of the things. There's about 4 or 5 things that I list here as choices. I built this message around. You're just highlighting the fact that God has given each one of us the gift of that we make. And I want to focus on, I segmented those choices into to general choices. Large or small, not so much impactful choices. But then the last category that I started talking from, which is where I'm going to end, it deals with the life choices that are huge and enormously impactful to your life. If you miss these, I challenge you that your eternity is going to suffer as a result of missing these. Amen. And the first one that I ask as, again, we close this, is the question about, will I commit to spiritual growth, or will I just surrender to spiritual confusion in my life? And I'm convinced that that God's desire for us, that we really would be changed, that we would be transformed. Amen. That we really grow to the place where we understand that God, as much as I love my wife, God is more important than my wife is. And he is more important to her than I am important to her. Amen? And so we don't get that confused. And I would just challenge that many of the people that are in this room right now may still struggle with that, that we erroneously or certainly ill-advisedly place other things and other people in front of our commitment to God. And there should be nothing more important than the God of the Bible. Amen? And so we mentioned, if you just hear this, I won't turn there because of time. I really am going to just take another maybe 12 minutes and we're going to close. But 2 Peter chapter 3, it says that we should grow in grace. Amen. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that's a powerful thing, because really what we know about God really brings life to us. Amen. It does. And anytime you see an illustration in the Word of God about someone that's trusting God, it really speaks volumes to you. What Mother was talking about in 1 Kings 17 and how this woman simply trusted God, it really speaks to the life that is afforded. Now watch this. When Elijah rolled up on her, of course he got there because God assigned him to this area and assigned Elijah specifically to her and assigned her to Elijah. So the man of God had the vision that God had given. Amen. And when he got there, he interviewed this woman, and she told him, "I'm getting ready to die. All right, we have just a small quantity of meal, and I'm going to make a cake for my son and I, as we gather these sticks for the fire and all, and we're going to eat it and we're going to die." Now, she was ready to die. But because there's life in the word, here comes a word, a life word from this prophet. And he said, listen, I've got the key to life for you. And he said, the only thing you need to do is just make for me first. All right. And she obeyed. Of course, she didn't have anything to lose because she already had depleted everything. There's nothing else. She was going to die anyway. The only thing in her mind was how soon. All right. And so he spoke this word to her. Now, that's when we declare there is life in the word. Amen. And all through the word of God, you see life choices being made when death is imminent. Amen. Ask your neighbor, will you make the right choice? Amen. And so we are compelled by the word of God to do what God says do. Now, the challenge is that if you go back real quickly, because I don't think we're ever going to get back to this again. But look at verse number 20. He's already told us in 19. I'm going to set before you life and death choices. And look at what he says is essential in order for us to make the life choice happen. He says that you may love the Lord your God and that you may obey his voice. You see that? Huh? Loving God is connected to your willingness to obey God. You can't say, and that, you know, the thing that I did in the Saturday service on yesterday, I asked the saint, we were talking about the people that were in the service that were saved. And normally whenever you're in church, if we had the time to form a line and ask everybody on the mic, are you saved? I promise you, probably 98%, 99% of the people in this room will say they're saved, if not 100%. It's going to always board on 100%. You know that because how few times people come and say, I want to be saved when the altar call is made. Amen? But there are more people in this room that's not saved in that destined to miss God because of your current relationship with God than we will ever admit. Does that make sense? Because there are some people in this room that could care less about God. There's some that can care less and don't even know that they don't care. I mean, because they believe that what they're doing is okay with God. You know, the illustration that we talk about in Exodus, when Moses went to the mountain to talk to God, and the rest of Israel, God's chosen, decide to make a calf and worship. They didn't think there was anything wrong with that. They were worshiping God as far as they were concerned. And they're just simply saying, that's how I roll. Amen? And we find things to worship that's birthed out of our flesh. And we believe God told us to do that. Amen? We really believe that. So don't you tell me I'm not saved, you young whippersnapper. I know. I know I'm with God. Yeah, let me move on. But the deal is they were both part of the same congregation. Amen, right? Some are worshiping golden calves and nothing talking to the God of the Bible. Amen, and they all thought they were good until God showed up, opened up the earth and swallowed up some thousands of them. And they said, man, I hate when that happens. You know, it's a problem. That was a serious oops. Now the deal is, see, because a lot of us, we're comfortable living on grace. Amen. I was sharing with the saints the other day. Now you can hear it this time because really this is the way this thing works. One, there's life in the word. And what he says is, in order to extract the life that the word of God provides, we've got to be obedient to his word, to know what his word says. There's some thing. There's a word that's called orgy. That means orgy. Orgy means the anger of God. Amen. And God sees that because he doesn't zap you right there. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have a problem with what's going on. Amen. Because really, we don't have time to do this, but you can write down Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. And you can say that. He just simply says, there are people in the church that are going to stand before me at some point and say, Lord, I know he's going to say, nah, I don't know you now. Now, see, that's a major problem for me because God is omniscient. He knows everything. So how is it, God, if you know everything, you don't know me? Because now what he's saying is you never really served me as God. He said, I don't know you as someone. I don't know you as a person that has submitted to me as Lord. He's they're going to come in to me that day and say to me, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, no. That's a problem because you call me Lord, and you see that in Luke 6:46. Say, why callest thou me Lord, and you don't do what I say? Amen. Tell your neighbor you need to obey God. So orgy means anger, and then thumos means wrath. And we live between those two whenever we're not obeying God. The challenge is you don't ever know when thumos is going to happen in your life. All right? Thumos is the, listen, like if orgy is the thunder, huh? Now, you know, you can see some things in your life that suggest that God may be mad at you. And even, and some of us see it right now because we know, we just heard what the word said. Huh? Tell your neighbor, that was thunder you heard. God said, you need to clean that act up. You need to get together. Amen. But no, we just, you know, sit up straight and say, listen, we're going to pretend that nobody knows what's going to, but God knows. All right. But then, listen, that's grace between the anger and the, listen, the wrath or the judgment of God is grace. Tell your neighbor, I know about grace. Amen. But Romans 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And what's the answer? He said, oh, don't even try it. That's what he said. Look, it says, listen, how's God forbid, don't even try it. How can we that are dead to our flesh live in the flesh? Now, if you cuss folk out last week, don't talk about child. It wasn't my fault. They made me mad. So I guess, listen, put that verse back on the screen. So I guess what God's going to do is get all those people that made you mad and let your cussing self on into heaven. Tell your neighbor, I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, that's really what the word is. He said, listen, I really want you. Because he says, he doesn't give us an option here. He says, obey me. Is that what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20? He said that you may obey his voice. Amen. So that, and then it says that you may cleave unto him. Amen. If you obey him, then you're connected to him. If you obey him, listen, you are a part of him, is what they say. So when you don't obey God, there's a problem. Amen. Do you see that in that verse? It says you may cleave unto him. It says, for he is your life. Remember, there's life in the word. And the only way we can receive the life that's in the word is to receive him. Because in him is life. Amen. And the Bible said that life was the light of men. And that light shineth in the darkness. Amen. Now watch this. If he's in you and you're in him, it says that light shines in darkness. So when you're in a dark time, listen, the glory of God ought to stand up in you. Listen, you didn't hear mother didn't say, listen, because I'm between a dry and an empty place. You didn't see her. Somebody robbed the BB&T yesterday, and I didn't see mother's mug on the screen. She ain't trying. Listen, the light shines in darkness. Did y'all hear what the word said? That means that when I go through a storm, because life is in me, you're going to see, listen, you're going to see me act up whenever some stuff, listen, when things are looking down, that's when I'm looking up. David said, I look to the hills, from whence cometh my help cometh from the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I believe this thing, I believe this thing. That just means, listen, that just simply means, listen, that when I'm in my dark moments, the light of God's glory and his grace shines in my life. That's when I come to church with the glass. You won't ever know I'm going through. Because I ain't sitting down. I'm going to give God glory. I'll magnify God. I pray. David said, I will bless the Lord. Y'all said it. He says, and his praise shall always be in my mouth. Listen, we're not the ones that just decide that we're going to, listen, always ride on what's called the prelexarian grace. That's the grace, listen, that stands just before the lightning strikes. I was watching a soundbite yesterday, and it showed some sports people on the field, and they showed the plume of smoke coming from this individual that lightning struck. Do you think they knew lightning was coming? The field would have been vacated by that point. They were all milling around on the field, and bam, lightning hit them. Amen. And then they started scurrying. Tell your neighbor, don't let it be said too late. Now, don't let it be said. Listen, don't run for cover after the lightning strike. I want to be covered before it happens. My God, I'm not frustrating grace. I want to get in before the strike starts. Tell your neighbor, I want to be in the will of God. I want to be where God has covered me. That's what the word says. So God declares, we don't want to live for ourselves. We want to live so that God is glorified in our life. Man, I may be down to one or two minutes, maybe no minutes. at this point. But listen, we don't want to live in spiritual confusion. Amen? Amen. Listen, and then we have to commit ourselves. The third thing, we got to commit ourselves. This is only the second thing I've said, but this is the third. I skipped number one, all right, purposely here. But every day we got to decide that we're going to live to advance the kingdom of God. If you want the life and the word to manifest in your life, we got to live so that we can see, so that others have the benefit of receiving and knowing what we know from the word of God. All right. And as I go back to that verse, he says, for he is your life. And listen, and not only is he the life, but he's the length of your days. Amen. Say he's the one. Listen, because not only is he your life, but he's the length of your days. Amen. Listen, that means that he's the one that will give you, listen, the quality and the quantity of your life. Amen. The quality and the quantity of your life. He's the life and the length. Amen. He's the quality and the quantity of your life. We're living today because God, listen, has been gracious to us. Because we made, in our hearts, we set ourselves to obey him. And we're not going to let the enemy, convince us that serving God is not what our hearts desire to do. If this is the place where we make the distinction that we're setting ourselves to serve God. Mark 8:34, it just simply says to us, is that if we come after God, then we've got to deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. When you tell your neighbor, it's really not about you. Put Revelation 4, okay, stay right there for just a moment. Then he called his people unto him and said, disciples, said unto them, whosoever will come unto me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That means that when the difficult, that you will embrace the difficulties that come in your life. I told you in the difficult times, that's the darkness, right? But the Bible said, but the light shines in the darkness. You are carrying that cross and you are celebrating God because the Bible wants us not to, listen, just endure it. But you've heard this before, but to endure it. Amen. That means that he says to us that, listen, that you should glory in tribulation. Huh? Is that what he said? He said to count it all joy when you fall in the diverse temptations. Huh? That means you ought to like it. Huh? That means endure it. Endure means to enjoy what you're going through. Huh? Tell your neighbor, I had a rough time this week. Huh? But tell him, but I got the glads this morning. Tell me if you mess with me right now after all I've been through. Child, I give God a praise right about now. I feel, listen, see, that's when God said, I just enjoy, not the stuff, but in the midst of the stuff, I still will give God some glory. Huh? You know how good my God is? Huh? The glory to God. You need to back up off me now. I'll give God some praise because I know the Lord's been good. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to just do what he said. I'm going to just do what he said. Listen, and you see some stuff in the word of God when he asked us to just simply obey him. There are some things in the Bible that would just really mess with your head when you start assessing this. Not only what Mother was talking about, so many cases in the word of God. Even you look at the very first miracle, you're talking about how, you know, they were bringing water, to be made into wine and all the things they did before the wine was produced. Now, wasn't that something interesting about them? They labored over that to get to that miracle, didn't they? But God used them. Huh? They didn't murmur, complain. They were just obedient to what God said. They just did what he said. Huh? You know, and all of that. But go to the same chapter. Let me just tell you what we're talking about there. You know, those person, he told them. How about telling them to fill the pots with water? Yes. See, they told Jesus, he said, look, I need wine. That's right. That's what they told him. Just like what you did. You said, God, I need a job. Right. You say, God, I need a husband. That's right. I need a car. Right. I need a house. Right. See, they were telling him, they said, look, this is what we need. Right. And as soon as they told him, they said, look, we need wine. And the Lord didn't say, okay, bam, you're wine. He said, no, but what he did was this. He said, go get me some water. Right. What you talking about water for? I said, did you hear me? Now, I wonder if somebody said, Lord, I need a husband, if he said, okay, clean your house up. Now, I'm just saying. Listen, if the brother say, I want a wife, and God said, get you a job. I mean, can you connect the dots? Tell him, just do what he said. Just do what he said. Amen. I mean, but can we be vigilant in doing what God said after we've asked God to do something for us? My time. But they didn't murmur, didn't complain. They just did what he said.
Yes.
Did they go get the water?
Yes.
Amen. Listen, not questioning God. Just do what God said. He said, listen, that if you obey me, he said, I'm going to bless you.
Yes.
If you just do what I said. And that's why we got to take 20 minutes out of this 2 hours time we got. Huh? You know, talking about paying your tithe. How many people understand paying tithe? Look at them, just tell them, just do it. Would you just okay. So we don't have to do 20 minutes next time, but it'd probably be 25 minutes. But if we just obey God, it's not that you have to agree with what he said, not that you have to understand what he said, just do what the Lord said.
Yes.
Amen. And listen, these were things, even when they were at it for a while, huh? They still didn't question. They kept it going. And then it seemed like he just kept pushing the miracle back further and further and further. Tell your neighbor, he's still God.
He's still God.
You've been waiting on that job for a long time, waiting on your healing for a long time. Tell your neighbor, he's still God.
He's still God.
My God, you better know. I don't care how many steps you've had to take since God said, I'm going to bring it into your life. Tell your neighbor, he's still God. My God, and that's what God wants us to know. My God, listen. They were working on this thing, just like what she was talking about in 1 Kings. No matter how long it took Elijah to see the fulfillment of what God said, he just simply trusted God. Amen? He believed God. I talked about Miriam the other day, how when they came out of Egypt and was on their way out into the wilderness, she just believed that somehow some stuff was going to happen in her life for her to have a reason to give God praise. So that's why she grabbed hold of her praise instruments to take into the wilderness experience. Tell your neighbor, you don't ever want to go into a wilderness without your praise instruments. Huh? I dare you, put your hands together. Tell your neighbor, I got my praise instruments with me. Oh, glory to God. Listen, they were on their way to the wilderness, but listen, Miriam said, I need my tambourine.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, listen, she would have been the person, I'm sure somebody would look at and say, child, you know we need some rowboats and stuff. We need some oars. Huh? We getting ready to go across some water, but you got the nerve. What you need a tambourine for? Huh? We got a whole army coming after us, and you talk about I need a tambourine to play. Girl, have you lost your mind? Tell your neighbor, I need my praise instrument. When I ain't catching my hand, my God, I feel some running in my feet. Oh, God, some glory in the... Listen, we've got to listen. We need to believe God no matter how, no matter how much stuff we've got to go through between the time of the promise and the provision. We've got to believe God. Amen. We got to trust him. Tell your neighbor, there's life in this word. And if we believe God, listen, no matter how vehement the enemy is against us, we're still going to see God bring to fruition what he promised. Tell your neighbor, I still believe God. I thought about the woman with the issue of blood. My God, she had been, listen, working through that issue for 12 long years. Uh-huh. And listen, she had been losing blood for 12 long years. But she said, I'm not giving up. Don't you know, at the end of the 12 years, ask your neighbor, how long has it been for you? Listen, that was her issue. I don't know what your issue is, but tell your neighbor, I still believe there is life in the word. Listen, and at the end of her 12-year journey, all those Mondays she had to go through, all those Wednesdays she had to experience, all those Fridays she had to experience, all those sessions with the praise team and the choir she had to go through. But touch your neighbor and tell him, but he's still God. My God, there's still life in the word. But listen, I like it because after all those years.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte. This Sunday, Sunday for three dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all in your getting, get understanding."
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.